This morning, I'm going to borrow something from somebody else off of a church billboard. You ever spend any time reading those billboards? Some of them would just stop you in your track and make you think about, hey, that's pretty cool. And others will say, well, that was kind of corny. But this one I saw, I was going down Beatty's Ford Road, I think it was, and the sign said, under the same management since 2015 on a church billboard. Now, and as I gave that some thought, because if you think about, I mean, since for 2015 years, thank you, under the same management for 2015 years. So as I gave that some thought, I said, well, you know, I said, that's, yeah. I mean, the reign of Christ on earth has been about 2015 years, and Christ has not changed. God has not changed, but the people have. Now, for those of you in here that are managers or that have been managers or those that are still in the workplace, you probably look around at times and say, wow, what kind of people are we hiring nowadays? Because when you look at people that are coming into the workplace now, they're not like we used to be. They don't want to work in a lot of sense. They can be a little lazy, if that's an appropriate word to use in church. But people are different now. But the management may not have changed. Well, let's look at the church. We celebrate homecoming today. We think back about how this church has been for years and years and years. Back in the day, what always happened on Sunday morning, no matter what always happened on Sunday morning? You went to church. It wasn't an option. You went to church. Your parents went, your grandparents went, your great-grandparents went. You got up and you went to church. But now we have options. We can do other things besides going to church. And we might go a couple times a year or not at all, but there are always these other things. So what I would say as we read that billboard is that, yes, we've been under the same management since 2015 years from the time that Christ walked on this earth. But the people have changed. And the reason that I share that this morning is because we must understand that as we go about our ministry of making disciples. As we go about the ministry of spreading the word of God into our community, we have to understand that things have indeed changed. So what I invite you to hear this morning is the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9, verses 38 through 50. John said to him, "Teacher, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him, because he was not following us. But Jesus said, 'Do not stop him, for no one who does a deed of power in my name will be able soon afterward to speak evil of me. Whoever is not against us is for us. For truly I tell you, whoever gives you a cup of water to drink because you bear the name of Christ will by no means lose the reward. If any of you put a stumbling block before one of these little ones who believes in me, it would be better for you if a great millstone were hung around your neck and you were thrown into the sea. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. If it is better for you to enter life maimed than to have two hands and to go to hell, to the unquenchable fire. And if your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. If it is better for you to enter life lame than to have 2 feet and to be thrown into hell. And if your eye causes you to stumble, tear it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than to have 2 eyes and to be thrown into hell, where their worm never dies and the fire is never quenched. For everyone will be salted with fire. Salt is good, but if salt loses its saltiness, how can you season it? Have salt in yourselves and be at peace with one another." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, there's been a lot of focus recently and a lot of conversations in our church about the need to look at internal focus versus an external focus. We've got to think about what it means to be a church reaching out into the community, to be a church offering our influence into the community versus a focus on our internal thoughts, our internal needs, one of fulfilling our own needs first. And as we think about that, we can compare that to how the workforce has changed and how the church has changed.
Back in the day, there was a lot of focus on just the church and trying to make the church be what it needed to be. And as a result of that, people would come into the church because that was what was ingrained in their minds. Is the church would grow, people would want to come and see what was in the church because they were supposed to be there. But now it's not so much that way. The people believe the church can be out here in the community. The people believe that the works of God are happening out here in the community and not necessarily behind the walls of the church. In one of my readings that I completed here a couple weeks ago, one of the things that I saw is that there was a lot of talk about how a lot of people were doing good things in our community. But the sad part about it is that a lot of that was not occurring at the hands of the church. Think about all the nonprofits that we have out here now. Nonprofits for this disease, for that disease. Nonprofits to provide shoes for kids that don't have shoes. Coats for kids that don't have coats. Or to provide meals for people that are hungry. And we think about all of those things that are going on out there, and they may not be tied to a church. So when we look at that, we've got two choices. We can say, way to go, that is good, God's people, God's children are being served. Or we could look at it and say, you know, that's not right. They can't be doing that because they're not the church. So let's look at John just for a minute. John said the same thing. John went up to Jesus and said, look at these people. We saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we tried to stop him because he wasn't with us. He wasn't following us. Something doesn't make a lot of sense about that. A good thing was happening, and a disciple tried to stop him because he wasn't part of the crowd. That would be like us going out here to Stop Hunger Now and saying, y'all can't feed the hungry because you're not affiliated with any particular church. It would be like us going up to the homeless shelter and saying, you can't give shelter to these people because you're not part of one of our denominations. But that's what John did. John said to Jesus, we tried to stop this guy who was casting out demons in your name, but we couldn't stop him. But we wanted to stop him because he was not doing it with us. He wasn't following us. And you see, the disciples struggled with this. Peter had already gotten some trouble on his own with the same thing. Just before this, Jesus had looked at Peter and said, Satan, get behind me, because he was thinking of the world and not in a Christ-like fashion. And I think we sometimes have those same challenges in our lives today. What's wrong with us partnering with some of these nonprofits that may not be attached with the church as long as good things are happening in our community around us? But it is a delicate balance. We know that we have to focus on our churches. We have to focus on the ministry that has been laid before us. But we also have to look internally at ourselves and say, where are we? Or are we okay with this? Because we each are at a different place on our own spiritual journey. We're at a different place with our faith, in a different place understanding what God has called us into. As we are part of the ministry of discipleship, we have to look first at ourselves. We have to look first within our churches. We have to look first within our families. We have to do a self-examination. We have to see where we're obedient, where we can improve. We have to see where we're committed and where we're humble. We have to simply ask, how is it with our soul? And the reason that I say that we've got to do that is because before we can offer Christ to anyone else, we have to know where we stand. Because the very question that we're asking through our ministry as we go out into our community is, how is it with the souls of other people? As we read back into the scripture today, we see Jesus doing what he is so good at. He offers a pointed message to the disciples and teaches them why he's offering that message. You see, they don't just get it. I mean, John struggled with it, Peter struggled with it, all of them have struggled with it. They've had that narrow sense, and in some way, that they think they have the inclusive rights to Jesus Christ. That they have branded Jesus as one of theirs, and that unless Jesus is offered through them, then nobody can have Jesus in their life. So that's why John was fussing about the guy casting out demons in the name of Christ. And I think the church has done a good job too about branding Jesus Christ as a church thing. Well, Jesus Christ is not necessarily a church thing. The church is that natural progression as we grow in our faith, being surrounded by other believers, by other faithful people, by the body of Christ. But we cannot keep Christ in the four walls of this church. Christ is available to all people and in all places. And in so many ways, you see Christ experienced more outside the walls of the church. Just this weekend, we had a chance to be away up in the mountains with a group and saw a broken family, had a child, just had a chance to experience love of people that took time out of their day to be with this child, to offer this child something that he had not experienced before. And that's how Christ is taken to people at their point of need and their point of brokenness. Now, as a body, we also have to understand and use this scripture as a lesson. We need not worry about who gets credit for things. John was worried about that. He was worried about who was getting credit for casting out the demons. We need not worry about it. If the hungry are fed, I'm glad. I don't care how it happens. If the hungry are fed, I'm glad. If the homeless are sheltered, if battered women have a place to go, if all of these great things happen, even if it didn't happen because of this church, I'm happy. That's what we take. One of the things that we take away from the scripture we read this morning. You see, the disciples were guilty of not having that innocent, childlike faith. That innocent, childlike faith that was required to see things from a bigger picture point of view. And the scripture calls us to that. It calls us to have an innocent, childlike faith, to see things with pure, sincere eyes, to move away from that silo type thought in our life. We've got to see what God desires in our heart, and we've got to follow that call. And that's what Jesus does. He offers them instructions to move past that. And those words still speak to us today. Now, as we come together as a body, we do so for a lot of different reasons. We come to, and the kids pointed it out this morning. We come together to worship. We come together to sing. We come together to hear words read, the scriptures. We pray. We come together with meetings. We come together at homecoming. There are so many things that we do. Now, while our purpose is common, we're all different people. We all have different gifts that God has given us that we can use for His honor and glory, and that we can use to make disciples. We just have to realize that those gifts must be used. They're not to sit idle. And we also have to realize that we make mistakes, and we have to be aware of those places we're making those mistakes. In the Psalm number 1 that we read this morning, we heard a message about walking the way of the righteous versus the way of the wicked. What would happen to those who were righteous? What would happen to those who were wicked? In the Gospel of Mark this morning, we hear about what happens to those who make the wrong decisions. We have to be aware of what those stumbling blocks are that we have in our own lives. And we also have to be aware of those stumbling blocks because those are the things that we have to overcome as we go into ministry in our community around us. As we go into ministry to make disciples, we have to be aware of those things so that we can overcome those. Those things like race, those things like nationality, those things like people that have different opinions and politics and all of that. We've got to look at all of those things and acknowledge them for what they are. Those are stumbling blocks placed in this world, not by God, but by human beings. And we have to acknowledge all people as valuable creations of an amazing God. We have to look into our own eyes and see those places where we're not perfect, and none of us are. And we have to see those places that we need to correct. But we also have to go out into our community and not be hypocrites. We have to go into our community and not be judgmental. We have to go into our community and live a life worthy of God's calling. I'm not telling you there's anything hard here as far as going out and being a street corner evangelist or to push the word of God on people. What I'm telling you is we simply have to go out and live like creations of God, created in His image, created for a purpose. And to realize those places where we need to shape up a little bit. Now, one of the hardest pieces, not the hardest, but one of the hardest scriptures to deal with in the Bible is the one that we just read. Especially if you're a very literal person. And I hope people are not this literal. But if your hand causes you to sin, cut it off. If your feet cause you to sin, cut them off. If your eye causes you to sin, cut them, gouge them out. Well, I hope that we don't come into church with people that take this scripture literally and come in with one arm, one foot, and one eye. Because we've all sinned, brothers and sisters. We have. We've all made mistakes. What this scripture calls us to is a point of self-awareness. Where is it that we're sinning? Where is it that we're making mistakes? And understanding things have changed. That's what we're going to face when we go out here and we try to live a life worthy of God's calling, is things have changed. Now, back in the day, again, under the same leaderships for 2015 years, back in the day, did we have a big problem with pornography? We didn't, because it wasn't around. We didn't have the internet. But things have changed, so that's one of the things that we deal with. We didn't have a big problem with designer drugs because designer drugs wasn't around. We didn't have a problem with people missing church every Sunday or missing every mission trip because of ball games, because we just couldn't afford to go to them, or they weren't around that much, or they weren't that expensive. I mean, there was a lot of things that were out there. So things have changed. So as we leave this church today, that's what we're up against. Those are the things that take time away from God. So we don't cut off our hands, cut off our feet, or poke out our eyes. We simply have that awareness of those things that lead us into a temptation to sin. And as we go out here, we're called to be that flavor in the community. We're called to be that salt in the community. Now, we're not to be the pineapple and the chocolates and the strawberry. We are to be that Christian flavor into the world around us. Because like it or not, believe it or not, the life that you live influences those around you. You don't have to walk out of here with a sign on your chest that says, "I am a Christian." You don't have to walk out of here beating people over the heads with the Bible. You simply need to walk out of here being who God called you to be and to live that life. And your faith will serve as a testimony to those around you. Your people are going to know. They're going to come up and talk to you because they're going to know you're a Christian. The service and the love that you share are going to touch lives around you. You see, our flavor is something we can't help but to have. Our tradition, our reason, our experience, our scriptures, those things called the Wesleyan quadrilateral, those are the things that define who we are as United Methodist Christians. We simply have to apply it in the appropriate ways. We talked to the kids this morning about what kind of face you made when you had too much salt in your food. Well, we don't want to be that Christian that is too salty, that pushes people away. We want to be that Christian that is inviting, that people are comfortable with. We want to be that Christian that people are comfortable being around with, to the point that they want to talk and they want to know more about what it is that we have. And then we simply just offer them Jesus Christ. And it can just be as simple as an invitation to church, an invitation to a service project together, or just simply looking at someone and saying, "I love you for who you are, and I'm going to pray for you." But on the other side of it, we don't want to be that bland Christian. You know, the churches and the Christians that get into such a routine is so automatic that you don't know what's going to happen in church on Sunday. I mean, you know exactly what's going to happen in church on Sundays. And if you know exactly what's going to happen, then what's the reason to come? So the balance that we've got to maintain is not be too salty and to not be too bland. Being a disciple for Christ means that we don't squeeze Jesus in at appropriate places and intervals. It means that we are one with Christ, one with God, one with the body, one united, serving the world around us. So how is it then with your soul today? How is it with your soul? Is our flavor just right? Or perhaps are we a little too salty or not salty enough? And do we understand what it is that we face when we go into this community? So I would pray today that the Holy Spirit would fill our hearts in a very special way. We celebrate homecoming. We celebrate where we've come from. We celebrate what's happened, but things have changed. And as we go forward, I would pray today that we go forward equipped and prepared for the ministry of discipleship. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.